Tempering. Written by 16th Days. Read by Crimson Moon. Summary. One discussion on watchers, which eat what they love. One on listeners, which will catch you when you fall. And one on Pearl, who knows the world to be wrong. Chapter 1. You're not actually green, are you? Jimmy asks, suddenly, while they're sitting side by side on a bench in Tumbletown. It's a little abrupt, maybe. He sounds like he's been mulling the words over for hours. Green rolls his eyes. Of course I am, Tim. What are you talking about? No, but like, really? There's something in his voice. Green looks up at him, tilts his head a little at the look on his face. What do you mean? Jimmy gives him a look he's genuinely not sure how to parse. Green had brown eyes. Had. Ouch. You're gonna make me feel downright unwanted here, Tim. It was meant to be a joke, lightening the air between them. It doesn't land. Did you kill him, then? Green hesitates. Well, right into it, then. It's complicated, he starts, and then winces, because he can hear himself. I mean, I am Green, okay? I am. I'm certainly not anyone else but Green. Green is, maybe, a little afraid. This is new. He's not afraid of much, but he's afraid, here, of Jimmy deciding that he isn't Green, and that they aren't friends. I'm not hearing a no to that question I asked there, mate, Jimmy says. There's something wary in his voice, and that's no good at all. It's a complicated question, Green protests. I really don't think it is. I am Green says eventually, again, because it's important, critically important, that Jimmy at least understands that. He's not anyone else. He's not pretending. He's not. It's just also, it's a little uncomfortable, he finds, to think back to the times when he wasn't Green yet. Being Green is fun and wonderful, and it fits him so well and better every day. And maybe he doesn't even want to remember being anything else. Maybe someday he'll have sunk into his skin so thoroughly he'll really forget. Because, of course, he'd loved Green. It feels wrong to say he'd killed him. He'd picked Green up and pulled his being off his bones and wrapped him around his own. That was different. But he probably does owe Jimmy an explanation. It's just that I was someone else, he settles on, eventually. And he hates doing this, talking like he's not himself. But Green deserves it, he supposes. Before I was Green, and I liked him. I liked him so much. He was so clever and bright and unexpected. I wanted to know what that was like, and I wanted him to exist forever. So I became him. So what happened to Green? Jimmy says. When you did that? I'm right here, Green says, in a tone that's meant to be exasperated and doesn't quite make it there. Oh, absolutely not. He's not pleading. He's explaining himself. Calmly. I'm trying to tell you. You've just said you're not him, though, Jimmy says. He's still frowning. Green is not sure how to make him stop, and it's upsetting? It's upsetting. I said I wasn't always Green. Not that I'm not now. I'm Green now. Jimmy's mouth is a frustrated line, like Green is being purposefully obtuse. And okay, he is, a little. But he's also not. He doesn't know how to make it any clearer. If you're asking about the person who was Green before I was, he tries, carefully. He's not anywhere else, and he's not dead. He's here. I'm him. Could you leave then, and him still be there? Green hesitates. No, he says after a moment. It doesn't work like that. Well done. Green rolls around, head following sluggishly. He's trembling with victory, hands clenching and unclenching at his sides, breath coming fast and ragged in his throat. He shouldn't be alive, he thinks. They were supposed to do this together, he thinks. Well done, he thinks. And there's a hand holding his chin. There's a face looking back at him, unfamiliar. Normal in that forced way that means there's something wrong underneath. And its eyes are a vision of the void, black and spotted in stars. The thing holds his gaze and smiles at him. So softly and so gently, so in love that something in Grian melts, submits, falls under, and he stops trying to speak, stops trembling. It runs fingers up his arm and says again, "Well done." And the way it speaks, the pride and awe and delight, it makes Grian choke and tangles up all pieces of him until he barely knows his own name, until his whole heart is tangled up with the thing's admiration, with the way it will kill him. He should be afraid, but it's so utterly impossible to be afraid of something that finds you so perfect, your death so essential, that looks at you like that, that wipes tears you don't remember crying from the corner of your eyes, that smiles like that, at you, because you won. You are worthy, says the thing, and it takes. His skull shatters. His skin fizzles into light. Green steps away from the body, whole and new to himself, and blinks eyes which are a vision of the void. Green knew a watcher, back when he was one himself, who told him that when she tempered her most recent victor, her chosen favorite, she'd killed the girl's family and loved ones, every one, to prevent situations probably exactly like this. She'd still been weeping when she told him, 50 years later. "Are you mad at me?" he asks. "You can't ask me that," Jimmy says, sounding actually almost angry, which is not how it is supposed to go with them at all. "How am I meant to answer that? I don't know who you are." "I'm Green," Green repeats again, and he does definitely sound desperate now. But he doesn't know what else he's meant to say. Why is this so difficult? Why can't Jimmy just get it? Jimmy sighs, dropping his head into his hands. "I hate this," he mutters. It doesn't have to be a whole thing," Green says. It sounds tasteless even as he says it. It doesn't. I don't want anything to change. I don't want you to think of me any differently. Please, can we go back to having fun?" "You still haven't even said you didn't kill him." "Okay, so that's what he's angry about. The killing thing, right? It must be. He keeps coming back to it." Green doesn't know what to do about that. People get upset about killing because it's destruction, right? But he doesn't... Nothing is gone. He just... He didn't lose anything," he says, slowly. "I didn't break anything. Nothing important. The body was empty when I left it. Everything important I took with me." "The body," Jimmy repeats, flatly. "Ah. He's made a mistake, obviously." "He's trying. Can't Jimmy see he's trying?" "It was empty," he said again. "It wasn't... It was empty." "Green's body," Jimmy says. "Yes. Not how he usually thinks of it. He's Green. The body he's in now is his. The body he left behind was vacant and empty of anything that had made it the person it used to house. But it had belonged to Green, so, technically. But you've got his memories and everything?" "Yes," Green says, relieved. "That's what I've been trying to say." Jimmy doesn't say anything. "I'm not any different," Green says. Really? If it wasn't for my eyes, you never would have known, right? Jimmy stares at him for a minute. Wow, he says eventually. You really don't get it. Okay, he falls quiet for a moment, then says, the fact that you killed my friend makes me sad, okay? But I'm here, Green says. I'm not dead. Shut up, I'm explaining. I'm taking you at your word, okay, that you are Green. Or at least you think you are, or whatever. And if you are, I'm glad you're not dead. I am. But if you killed him, that's still bad. I didn't really kill him if he isn't dead, he wants to say. I didn't break anything. I just took it and saved it, tempered it, put it in amber forever. Why can't you just be happy I'm here talking to you, he wants to say. I gave, and I am giving him the greatest honor I ever could. He's me. Why are you talking about me like I'm not right here, he wants to say. I'm right here. Okay, he says. Okay, I'm sorry? You're sorry, Jimmy repeats. Green can't read his tone. Yes, Green confirms. I'm still not sure I get what I did wrong, but I'm sorry if I made you sad, because you are my friend, and I don't want to hurt you. Jimmy stares at him for a moment, chewing on the inside of his cheek like he's looking for something. Did it hurt him? What? Whatever you did to Green, when you killed him, did it hurt? Oh. He thinks back. To tempering. Being tempered. No? No, I don't remember it hurting. Feels like getting pulled apart. And then I guess it did hurt, for a moment. And then I was me. Does that matter? Yeah, Jimmy says. It matters. Green groans, slumps against Jimmy's shoulder. Jimmy jumps, but doesn't push him away. This is so complicated. I didn't know it was going to be. Jimmy sits a little stiff under his weight, like he's not sure whether to relax into it or shove him off. And ultimately, he doesn't do either. What, killing and replacing someone? He asks. There's a funny, strained sort of tone in his voice. Green shrugs a little. Being a person. Oh, yeah, I guess that is pretty complicated. There's a pause. I am mad at you, I think, Jimmy says eventually, to answer your earlier question. Oh, Green says, and tries not to be disappointed. Jimmy's been mad at him a lot of times before, in sparking, half-laughing moments. This is different, and feels bad. We're still friends, though, right? I mean, yeah, Jimmy says. Yes, we're still friends. It's just complicated. And I'm mad at you. You did something really bad. I'm still glad you're not dead, though, okay? Okay, Green says. He can live with that. Yeah, okay.
Chapter 2. Grace. Martin finds him in the stands. Green looks up as he approaches, smiles, and waves him over. Martin, congratulations on the win. Thanks, Martin says, a little uncomfortably. Hesitates a moment, sits down next to him. Listen, Green. Something I need to talk to you about. Sure, Green says, brow a little furrowed in concern. His eyes are black holes in his face, shining faintly, somewhere in their depths, with stars. What is it? Martin means to lead into the topic more slowly, more carefully. He really does. But what he finds himself saying is, was it you? Green blinks. Martin has to break eye contact, redirects his gaze down into the empty arena rather than into black depths of stars. Was what me? After the end of limited life, Martin says, slowly, piecing the words together one by one, pulling them disjointed from disconnected frames of memory. After I won, there was something there. I can't remember what it looked like. It had your eyes. Grian's hands on his face, suddenly, pulling him around to look. Martin flinches bodily back, jerking away from Grian's touch so quickly he nearly fumbles into the aisle. Martin's whole body is tense. Grian is staring at him. "Oh," Grian says, black eyes wide. Sorry, I didn't mean to scare you." Martin doesn't say anything. His heart is hammering in his chest. His head is full of light, slowly fading. "Sorry," Grian says again after a moment, slowly lowering his hands. It wasn't me. I wouldn't have. I didn't know. What happened?" Martin licks his lips, finds his voice somewhere. "Was hoping you could tell me that," he says, sitting the rest of the way back up. "I remember someone with eyes like yours taking my hands, and knowing I was going to die, and there was nothing I could do to stop it. And then, light." The memory of it burns. He has to close his eyes against it for a moment, tries to focus on putting words to sensations. "It wanted me to be better," he says eventually, and it comes out like a question, even though there's no uncertainty in the memory. "And I couldn't. It would have killed me." When he opens his eyes again to the memory of closing them against the light, the expression on Grian's face looks somewhere between upset and deep in thought. "Do you know," Martin prompts, after a moment of quiet, "what that was?" "Yes," Grian says, still frowning. "You would have been tempered, but it was interrupted. I'm sorry? Or no, I don't know what to say here." "Tempered?" Martin asks. "What happened to me?" Grian says, tapping a finger against his own temple. "At the end of Evo." Here's the thing. Martin, unlike Jimmy, has never really been under any illusions about whether the Grian who'd eventually turned up again was the same as the one who'd gone missing. He thinks of black eyes and hands in his, and leans back another inch. "If I had been," he says, carefully, "what would have happened to me?" Grian shrugs a little. "The Watcher would have killed you, and taken everything that makes you, you, and become you. And then you'd have been you again, but better." "And that's what happened to you?" Martin says. "That's what happened to me," Grian says, and then frowns, looking thoughtful again. "Is that... I don't remember it being scary, but you said about not being able to stop it. Were you scared?" "Love and love and love. I don't think I was at the time," Martin says. "I don't think I had room to be in my head. But if I could have been, I would have. I was scared afterwards, after I was actually able to think about it." "Oh," Grian says. He sounds troubled. "Are you still? Now?" Martin hesitates. I don't... "No, tell me," Grian says, leaning forward a little bit to try and meet Martin's eyes. His hands are fluttering uncertainly against the painted steel of the bleacher, like they've done for as long as Martin has known him, whenever he doesn't know what to do with them. He hasn't tried to touch Martin since the initial recoil. "I want to get it." Martin opens his mouth, closes again, sighs. "If you wanted to," he says, eventually, "could you do that to me? The tempering." "Oh," Grian says, and glances down at his hands. I wouldn't, for a bunch of different reasons." "But you could." "I wouldn't, though," Grian says. You're wonderful, but I wouldn't." He trails off, scrunches his face up in frustration. The watcher that wanted to temper you loved you, he settles on after a minute or two. Loved you like the best thing it had seen in thousands of years. You impressed it in a way it barely even remembered it could be. You must have felt that, like falling in love.
It didn't give me a choice, Martin says.
Grian looks surprised. Would you have chosen not to? What Martin means to say is yes. He thinks of love that is found in kneeling before a blade, and what comes out of his mouth instead is, I don't know.
Finally.
Breath comes heavy in Martin's lungs, thick and ragged as a wound. There's blood on him, streaked across his arms and shirt, pooling at his feet like salt water. None of it is his, and a wild, giddy glee risen in his throat beneath his eyes. I won, he thinks. Finally, he thinks. Finally, he thinks.
Finally,
says the face looking back at him, unfamiliar, calm, hands taking Martin's hands, coaxing the sword out of them, twining fingers, no color in its eyes, like two windows to deep void night. No bloodlust, no red, strung with constellations.
A worthy victor.
Eyes like, Martin thinks. Then the thing squeezes his hands, so proud, so pleased, and the thought twists away, lost to the way the thing half smiles, tilts its head to get another angle, hoods its deep void eyes in perfect affection, in unfathomable delight, in love. Martin knows, then, with the certainty of self-knowledge, that it will kill him, and knows death as the ultimate expression of love, as the price and reward of it, and it sees that in him and lets go his hands and is holding Martin's bloodied sword in reverent fingers, half-smiling. Martin, entranced, held suspended, bares his neck. And then, a miracle. A light invades, a bright thing beyond color. A hand catches the blade in bloodless fingers, burning spilled blood away, burning the air away, the red, the face of eyes like two windows to deep void night. It touches Martin, then, burns through his stillness, makes him shake, through him in a way, boils off all his imperfections, his betrayals, his essential flawed humanity. Burns right through everything the thing with the deep void eyes admired so much to kill him for the love of. Burns through that all in a way, makes him empty and shaking in the wind, hollows him out and leaves nothing but the good. This too is the price and reward of love, knows Martin. Knows what little of Martin there is that still can know. This is what love could be, if only he chooses to accept it. To let this other shining thing make him better. To lift him up, make him beautiful and inhuman and perfect. If only he makes himself worthy of its light. Lets himself be worthy of it. Is worthy of it. If only he accepts its judgments and immutable, timeless beauty. He could be made good. He is made good. And he wants it. He does. He does want it. Strung out beyond himself, hollow, loved and burning. But the light of it hurts, and he knows with the certainty of self-knowledge that he won't survive it. Not breathing, with all the strength he has left, he drags his eyes shut. He looks away. And then there's nothing but Martin, plunging incessant, unworthy, beyond love, through the void. Martin squeezes his eyes shut, briefly. The light in his memories is still too bright to look upon.
So what happened? Did it change its mind?
No, Green says immediately, decisively. No. If I had to guess, it sounded like a listener intervened. Martin blinks spots out of his eyes. Unbearable goodness, the agony of perfection.
That was a listener?
Probably, Grian says, and makes a face.
I thought they would be... Martin struggles for a moment, ends up with... gentler. More human. Green blinks.
Why?
Don't know, really, Martin admits. Because they weren't the Watchers, I suppose. You can hardly expect one side of a war to be any kinder than the other, Green says. Martin nods, conceding the point. It would have killed me, he says, his hands shaking a little. Right? I remember thinking that was going to kill me. Not on purpose, just because I couldn't be what it wanted me to be. Probably, Green says. Between the two, you'd be better for the Watchers than the Listeners, if you ask me. The Listeners want to fix things. The Watchers, well, they want everything you are, exactly how you are. That's no good for the Listeners. They only want the very best of you. They'd claw everything else out, and not much care for what it left you. For a glorious moment, he'd been good. And then he'd just been himself again, unimpressive and small and alone and vicious and victorious. I think I miss it, he admits after a pause. Green looks at him curiously. The Watcher or the Listener? I'm not sure, Martin says, slowly, thinking of a night sky of love, unconditional, and a sun of perfect light, clawing each other to pieces. Both? You're a Watcher? Green says, waving a hand back and forth. Not really. I mean, yes, but as soon as I tempered Green, I had a lot of way more interesting things to do, so I left. But if it had gotten me, I'd be like you. More or less, Green says, then pauses, frowns. Well, you'd be dead, but yes. Right, Martin says, and tries to picture himself sitting here next to Green, with night black eyes, talking about the people buried inside of the two of them. It might be back, Green says, after a moment. Martin blinks back to the present, alarmed, and glances at Green. Sorry. What? Well, you know, Green says. The Watcher that was going to temper you got interrupted. But it's not going to stop. Unless it dies, I suppose. But it still wants you. We don't let go of things we love that easily. I wouldn't if it was me. Martin, on instinct, looks around. A few other straggling participants and onlookers are still scattered around the stands. But the only eyes of night and stars are sat right next to him, watching him with what might be confusion and what might be concern, and what might be nothing at all. Okay, he says, throat suddenly dry. If it comes back, can I stop it? Probably not, Green says. Would you want to? That question again, the memory of tilting his head back, willingly, for the sword. I don't know, Martin says, honestly. But I'd like to be able to. Oh, Green says. Well, He goes quiet for a moment, looking at Martin intently, like he's trying to make up his mind on something. The stars in his eyes are distant, faint. I can try, he says eventually. He looks uncertain, but he nods to himself once, and says, I don't know if I can stop it, but I can give you a choice, I think. Right, Martin says, and inhales, and exhales. Okay. It's not the worst, it's definitely not the best, but it's the best he can hope for, probably. He doesn't want to die. I had a conversation with Timmy, Green says, slowly, a little while ago, and I'm still not sure if I understand how you feel, but I want to be your friend. I want to be able to help. Thanks, Martin says, after a moment. I appreciate it. He pauses. I still don't trust you, though. Green giggles. That's fair. You probably shouldn't. I care about you, though. Yeah, Martin says. You want to go find Timmy and make fun of him? Obviously. Chapter 3. Glitch. There's a flutter of an elytra just behind Pearl, and a moment later Green says, Pearl, I'm not a bad person, am I? She raises an eyebrow without turning away from the facade she's texturing, propping one hand on her hip. Well, you're not really a person, are you? Well, no, he admits. Well. He pauses, exhales, and she turns around to see him frown. Well, what? She prompts, when he doesn't say anything further. I've just been thinking, Green says, uncharacteristically subdued. He kicks at a bit of alien flora springing up near his foot, and startles a little when it snaps back at him. Ooh, big news, Pearl says. Green makes a face that gives Pearl the feeling he would be rolling his eyes if they were eyes, and not a dim, unbroken field of distant stars. Remember when we went to Empires? He asks, picking a relatively stable-looking bit of brightly colored vine to perch himself on. I had a talk with Tim while we were there. He asked if I was really Green. Oh, interesting, Pearl says, attention caught. What'd you tell him? Well, I told him yes, obviously, Green says. I didn't want him getting any sort of idea like I wasn't Green. Right, because he wouldn't get it, Pearl agrees. There's a lull, and, well, she may as well ask. Was that true? Green tips his head to one side. Doesn't answer right away. I wanted to know what your answer would be. Are you really Pearl? The same Pearl? I can be Pearl without being the same Pearl, Pearl points out. And I am. I've never not been Pearl. It's different from with you. Is it, though? Green says, and he seems genuinely curious. I mean, you were different before, I do remember. Sure I was, she agrees. And I bet if I was the same now as I used to be, I'd be asking you all the same questions that Jim did when you talked to him. I almost wished you had, Green admits. I mean, I don't, really. But when I met you again, when you joined for season 8, you didn't seem like you thought anything was wrong with me? Not that there is something wrong. I guess it made me think that's how it would be with everyone, but... But it was different with Jim, Pearl says. 'Cause he's human. Right, Green says, and sighs. And I don't know what to say to him at all. He was angry with me. In an actual serious way, not the joking way. I know what to do with that. He hesitates, like he's not sure if whatever he's going to say next will upset her. Then clarifies. For killing Grayan. Pearl hums, pulls a length of wrapped vine out of her inventory to have something to do with her hands. I suppose that is the difference, isn't it? She says. Since I've never been anyone else but Pearl, it's not like I killed her, or like I was Pearl killed by something else. Except in the sense that I let something happen to me that was sort of like dying. You never really told me, Green says. What did happen to you after I was gone? It's funny that you say it like that when you weren't even there in the first place, you know? Pearl says absently, braiding her length of vine into rope and gathering her thoughts. I remember being there, Green says, slightly defensive. That's basically the same. Oh, you know it's not, Pearl says fondly. He makes a face, but doesn't argue, for once. Lets her pause to gather her thoughts before continuing. She tips her head back. Looks up at the sky. The moon is there, of course. It's just past midday, and the moon is there. Offset to the side of the sun, staring down at her. You were never human, she says eventually. I mean, not really. Green was, but you weren't. You might remember being human, but you didn't ever actually live it. You wouldn't know what it was like to be that... small. I don't. He admits. What's it like? She hums, eyes fixed on the moon. You know, it's frightening. You end up relying a lot on the things around you that you can trust. And if any of those things that you've come to rely on change or disappear in a way you can't explain, all of a sudden everything is scarier and less predictable and more prone to error. She looks back down at him in time to see his starry eyes widen just slightly. "Oh," he says, and she wonders if he really gets it, what she's telling him about Jimmy, and what she's trying to say about herself. "When Grian disappeared," she tells him, "I started seeing the moon." Pearl can't stop seeing the moon. It hovers over her in the sky, out of place, wrong. She saw it there once, looking up at the midday clouds, sometime after Grian disappeared, but before everyone else started filtering off too, one by one, in their unsettled, disjointed groups. She saw it, hovering there, besides the 3 in the afternoon sun. And it unsettled her. More than that, it disjointed her, tore a veil from her, stuck in her throat like pumice. It caught her, in its latent impossibility. She wondered for a moment if she was seeing through the dirt to the other side. She wasn't, though. The earth was where it was. The moon wasn't. She closed her eyes, and it remained. She opened them, and it remained. A 2 o'clock moon, as the sun dipped to 4, to 6, to sunset, as the moon came up, but didn't move. As the sun came up, as the moon came up, as the sun came up. There is something deeply, viscerally wrong with the nature of the world. And once she saw it, once she saw the still hovering moon, she couldn't stop seeing it. It's there in her vision. It captivates her. She thinks it'll kill her. When she thinks that, Big B makes a joke in her direction, or Martin drags her into a conversation about organics, and she forgets for a moment. The moon doesn't know. The world doesn't. It's still hovering. It's still wrong. It could fall, she realizes one day, if she let it. It could fall. It would kill her. She would die. So would her friends. Just Jimmy and Nettie left now. But it wouldn't be in the sky, and she wouldn't be looking at it. For one short, glorious minute, it wouldn't be in the sky, and she wouldn't be looking at it. She imagines a sky blank of anything but the sun, and clouds, and blue. She imagines herself, dead, unseeing. It would be a relief. It would be beautiful. It would be a miracle. But it wouldn't be the end of things, and the world would still be wrong. The moon would come back again, closer. She would come back, look up, see it again, lose days to it again. That 2 o'clock moon, let it fall, again and again and again. She couldn't. She won't. She shouldn't. Pearl doesn't see Nettie leave, because her eyes are on the moon. She just knows her aloneness, sudden and abrupt, and a long time coming. Just Pearl and an empty world, and the moon, hanging wrong and eternal in the sky, behind her eyelids when she blinks, in the corner of her eyes when she turns her head, demanding, demanding, demanding her attention. Impossible, doubled wrong. An abscess of reality. A mirror to the wrongness of the world. If she leaves, it'll stay. Above her. Wrong. Eternal. She lets it fall. Death is sudden, dry, painful. The moon might hit her, or it might pass through her, gravity releasing its hold on her, scattering her. It impacts, or she flies apart. Ground, or scattered into nothingness. And as nothingness, she filters away. She's swept away. She falls away out of the world. Into the void. Dust. Nothing. Not seeing. She awakes there, some unutterable time later, cradled in soft, dim void. Creation's moon left far behind for now. For now. Left behind in the world that is wrong. That shouldn't exist. that should be killed. Left behind with the wrongness that infects her. That killed and kills and will kill her. She awakes, and awakes to herself. And awakes to soft, dim void, silvered in moonlight. And awakes to knowing herself, and seeing herself. And she wakes to knowing what she must do. Moon blaze rise, I stand revealed. I am death and the star-filled sea. Did it hurt? Green asks. Dying, I mean. I honestly don't know if hurt is the right word, Pearl muses. I mean, on the one hand, yes, it hurt a lot. On account of, you know, the moon. It's not light. But it was also... Maybe this is the other thing you wouldn't understand. But it's dizzying to go from being so small to being so big. From being in the world to outside of it. Hey, can I ask you something? After you took Grian and ate him, or whatever. Tempered, he corrects, a little peevishly. She rolls her eyes good-naturedly. Fine, yes. After that, you took his name. How come? He hesitates, looks, to her surprise, almost embarrassed. Or something else close. Self-conscious? I didn't plan on it, he says, eventually. I didn't expect it. Pearl squints at him. Expect what? He's definitely avoiding eye contact, staring pointedly at a bit of admittedly quite nice texturing some distance away. When I tempered Grian and became myself, he elaborates, almost everything about me from before that got written over? The me I was when I was a watcher is gone. There's a few things I still have, habits mostly. And like you said, I still see things differently. Not like someone who was ever human. But besides that, I'm not lying. I was trying to tell Tim, but I don't think he believed me. I can't be anyone but Grian because there's nobody else left. He drops his gaze down to look at his hands, frowning. It was so weird. Like all of a sudden, everything I'd been doing up until that point for centuries seemed so silly and pointless. I couldn't even understand why I would have ever wanted to just stay in the sky and watch things. I wanted to go and be human, I guess. Which is absurd. Who wants to be human? It has its perks, Pearl says equanimously. For one, the moon doesn't constantly fall on you, generally speaking. Well, that's your problem, Grian says. I can make it your problem, Pearl offers. He makes a face. Please don't. Getting to experience that secondhand once was plenty. He frowns, then looks up at the sky, looking for the moon she sees and he can't. Speaking of, how's that going for you? It's Pearl's turn to feel vaguely embarrassed. You know, she says, waving her free hand. Last season was... It was the first time I'd spent that long in one world since Evo, she says. I thought I was ready for it, and I wasn't. It just started to all... great. And great. And it was just... so much easier to make it all... go away. It's not... I mean, it's nobody's fault but mine. And it's not gonna happen again. She'll leave before it does. She'd decided, when Exuma asked her if she wanted to stay, despite everything. You don't have that, she says, half a question and half not. You're not of the world any more than I am these days. But it doesn't bother you, the noise? He frowns. I mean, when I was a watcher, I think it was like a treasure hunt, he settles on. All I wanted to do was sift through the sand and look for diamonds. Nothing else really mattered. I didn't feel anything for any of it. And after I became myself, I didn't stop wanting to do that. It's one of the things that stuck with me. But I wanted to live in the world more. He hesitates, looks at her a moment, considering. Maybe it just hurts to not be human anymore, he says eventually. I mean, I wouldn't know. The moon is overhead in the corner of her eye. It might be a little closer than it was yesterday. Maybe, she agrees. You're not angry at me, he says after a moment. Not like Tim is. What, for killing Green? No, Pearl agrees. Why not? Good question. She guesses it's at the core of all of this. Hardly feels fair. If you'd been the real Green, the original one, I mean, and we'd met again like this, with you expecting me to be the way I used to be, you'd probably not know what to make of me either. And I imagine that would hurt. You don't think I'm real? He says, sounding almost a little offended, and she laughs at him. It's not personal, she says. I'm not real either. Nothing wrong with it. It's not like either of us can go back to what we used to be. I guess, he says, then straightens up, suddenly looking intrigued. Hey, Pearl. She raises her eyebrow, automatically suspicious. What? Timmy's upset with me because he doesn't get it, Green says slowly. Because he's human, like you said. But you get it because you're not. So if he wasn't... Pearl is giggling before he can even finish his sentence. Green, I'm not gonna drag Jim into revelations about the wrongness of reality so you can avoid having grown-up conversations with him. Please? No, then he'd be mad at me. The end. Thank you for listening.